So before we get into the usual episode overview, I want to jump into the future and talk about something. Movie 14 premieres in Japan on July 16th. And unfortunately, I won't be able to go. I'm not living there anymore. And it's just not feasible to fly around the world to see a movie. But if there was ever a movie I would want to be able to see in theaters, this is it, because it's being released as a dual film. Like, I guess there's two movies and they're different, and combined they make the 14th movie. And this is really fascinating, but the more I hear about it, the more I'm just not sure how it's gonna work. Seriously, I would give just about anything to be there right now and see this in person. So, if there are any listeners living in Japan, it is your duty as a Pokemon fan to come back and report. If not, I'll be stuck waiting for it to release on DVD or something. But I'm looking forward to it because there's not a lot of info out on the plot, but what there has is sort of given me a sense that Ash is going to be featured. And I'm kind of a horrible person, but I like movies where bad things happen to Ash. And I love it when he's the protagonist. And for both these things, dude, we are due. Ash hasn't died or experienced personal emotional trauma since movie 8. He hasn't been a true protagonist since... Wow, how long has it been? For a while, I was calling him, like, the Deiwe Machina, except, you know, he's been there the whole time. But regardless, other things to look forward to. This movie will, of course, have the usual main cast, including our dynamic duo, Rika Matsumoto and Ikue Otani. May they live forever. And if you follow my anime watch page on Videojug, you'll know that Dent is still being played by the same guy who did Light Yagami from Death Note and Riku from Kingdom Hearts. Heck yeah. The guest cast includes everybody's favorite geeky model, Shokutan, and believe it or not, Ishihara freaking Satomi. Go check out some of her dramas, people. She is amazing. But back to the real purpose of this podcast. Hi! You are still listening to Pikapi Podcast, the show where we go through every episode in the Pokemon series and revisit our old memories for nostalgia. Right now, we've made it to episode 12. Here comes the Squirtle Squad! And I am so excited. I love Squirtle. I love his wacky personality, I love his cute little shell, I love the fact that he's a friggin' mob boss. What's not to love? The episode opens with the narrator recapping Bulbasaur and Charmander's captures, and Ash is pretty confident. He's not half as arrogant as he was in episode 8 with AJ and his gym, but he's probably still trying on Brock and Misty's nerves as they have to hang out with him for hours on end while he's humming the Pokemon theme song over hill and dale. But as the narrator so nicely foreshadowed for us, there's a hole in the road. Now who would do that? Hint, it's not Team Rocket. It's actually a group of Squirtle, all wearing sunglasses and looking pretty pleased with themselves. While Ash and his friends investigate the Squirtle, I'd like someone to investigate how they got out of that hole so quickly. I mean, did you see that thing? They should still be down there. But the Squirtle with the coolest shades is the ringleader. Pikachu tries to take him out with a thunderbolt, but, like a true mob henchman should, one of the lackeys steps in and takes the shot for his boss. It's a showdown, but the police show up, and the Squirtle Squad decides to run away and live to fight another day, picks up their fallen comrade, and takes off as fast as their wobbly legs can carry them. Upon arrival, Jenny takes them to the police box to write a report, or whatever, and reveals that the Squirtle Gang were all abandoned by their trainers. Now they roam town, causing mischief, stealing food, drawing graffiti. In the flashback, you see the first of two cameos in this episode, as one of the sellers with fruit stolen from him appears to be the Magikarp salesman, a recurring character we shall meet soon. The second cameo is a bit more special. Wait for it. Ash is sympathetic to the sob story, and you can see that he agrees with Jenny when she says that they wouldn't have turned out like this if the Squirtle had just had someone to care about them. I'm willing to go along with that. The Squirtle are acting like young kids or teens rebelling and looking for attention, protesting at the world that did them wrong while looking for acceptance at the same time. I think it's a fair bet to say that Squirtle is still young and does need somebody to love and guide him. Like, they run wild now, but just look what happens once Ash gains their admiration and starts expecting things of them. Once Jenny and the town believe in him, they do amazing things. But right now, when no one expects much of anything from them but mischief, they don't expect much more of themselves. Team Rocket is still stalking Pikachu, but having troubles with the food issue. They're not quite broke yet, but the food is not plentiful, and so they take offense when the Squirtle Squad threaten them and steal their food, tie them to a tree. Actually, I'd be mad too. They try to cut a deal with the Squirtle, but they don't buy it, not trusting humans. But Meowth comes up with an idea, pretending he's the master of Jesse and James, which is not so far from the truth when you think about it, and earns the Squirtle's admiration. They decide to go ahead and terrorize the three twerps, and we get to see more evidence that Pikachu's aim really sucks in this first season. Ash orders Pikachu to attack once he's done being electrocuted, and Squirtle retreats into its shell, and I'm sure that Pikachu being knocked away by a red turtle shell is a joke referencing the semi-rivalry between the creators of Pokemon and the creators of Mario, since they already do so with Satoshi and Shigeru. But anyway, Pikachu is injured by a Goldeen, and Ash and company are captured and taken to a cave where Meowth is waiting. Ash responds to this situation by using his own bite attack. What is this? Ash hurting Pokemon on purpose? I'm not going to say that Meowth didn't deserve it, or that it can't be classed under self-defense, but still, it's a little notable just because it's Ash. But then again, Meowth works for evil. I'm pretty sure he's crossed the line in Ash's morality books. Pikachu is injured and needs Super Potion, which no one has on hand, so Ash begs for a chance to go to town and get it. Ash promises to come back, and though it takes some convincing, some begging, and some tears, they eventually decide to let Ash go. After all, Pikachu does need help, and they wouldn't harm another Pokemon. They keep Brock and Misty as collateral, threatening to dye Misty's hair purple if he's not back by noon the next day. Actually, in the original Japanese, they were going to kill her, but I'm going to call their bluff, because I don't really think these guys have it in them to kill. Meowth's master plan is to steal all the Pokemon once Jesse and James get back, but oblivious to this, Ash promises to be back soon, reassuring Misty, sort of, and runs out. The next couple of minutes are irrefutable proof of Murphy's Law. Everything that can possibly go bad does, and by the time Ash makes it back to town, he's hobbling on a crutch. And just when he thinks he's finally home free, the shop door opens in his face, knocking him out, and yes, it's the Gary cameo! Gary is the most amazing character in this series, aside from, say, Ash and Pikachu. Certainly, the other rivals have nothing on him, because none of the other characters can inspire such big reactions in people. Like, love him or hate him, everyone has an opinion of Gary that they'll be happy to share with you. And he can inspire squeals of love or frustration without even having to be present. Just his name is enough. And as someone on the internet put it to me, in the games, when five of your Pokemon have fainted and the sixth is poisoned and in critical condition, you're 5 steps away from the Pokemon Center and who shows up and says he wants to fight? Gary, insert your own expletive, Oak. And I don't think it's entirely random that he shows up here, because if we remember back to the first episode, after Ash thought all night about it, the Pokemon he decided on was Squirtle. Except, unfortunately, all the Pokemon were gone. We are now aware that Gary was the one who got the Squirtle that day. And no, I'm not trying to imply that Gary abandoned his Squirtle, thus forming the Squirtle Squad, because, well, first of all, he still has his. But I'm rather, great minds think alike. Those two were friends and are now rivals for a reason. So Ash comes to his senses the next morning, just to find Team Rocket holding up the store, and realizes that they're working with the Squirtle Squad, and the situation is more dire than he thought. Unfortunately, the townspeople don't get that, and I guess this town is the Kanto equivalent of Texas, because everyone has a gun and is willing to use it on the 10-year-old boy crying for Super Potion. And what the heck, isn't the gun issue the reason The Legend of Dratini never got aired in the U.S.? Not fair. But granted, in this episode they did try to make the situation less serious. But Jenny shows up to clear his name, and she uses her motorcycle to get him back up the mountain. I like this Jenny. She just seems much more competent than the one in Viridian, or her sister-in-law. Ash gets back, they spray the potion on Pikachu while it's revealed that yes, the Squirtles were bluffing, and while all this is going down, Team Rocket attacks. Their flash bombs do, as they said, scare the shells off the Squirtle, and the humans too, and everyone runs for cover in the cave, but the leader, in true turtle form, has been turned on his back and can't get up, so it's up to Ash to be the hero, and he runs out to shield the Squirtle with his own body, thus impressing the leader. It's all very dramatic. Two more flash bombs fall from the sky, and Ash tells Squirtle to save itself. But with tears of gratitude and joy, Squirtle picks up Ash and carries him through the flash bomb field in an act of superhero strength matched only by the Hulk. It was the force of his passion that allowed him to do that. Yeah. But Team Rocket's actions start a fire in the woods, and even though Team Rocket thinks that the town will love them for getting rid of the Squirtle, raging wildfires are not the way to do it. But Ash organizes the Squirtle Squad into a firefighting team that saves the day. Team Rocket blasts off again, yada yada yada. The Squirtle Squad are made into the town firefighters, but the leader decides he wants to come with Ash, doffs the shades, and runs up to hug Ash. It's a good ending. Ash has finally caught all three of the Kanto starter Pokemon, and, you know, judging by the personalities we've seen thus far, things are going to go smoothly. Or are they? But Squirtle is kind of a wacky character. He's definitely going to liven things up on this journey, and I'm looking forward to seeing his friendship with Bulbasaur blossom over the next couple episodes. Speaking of the next couple episodes, the next one will be episode 13, Mystery at the Lighthouse. I'm kind of looking forward to that one. Gosh, the more I watch these, the more I keep saying, this is my favorite episode, this is my favorite episode. I kind of didn't realize how much I missed this old season. So much is happening. If you would like to comment on this podcast and talk about all the new discoveries you're making and the things you think are happening, please visit our blog. We are at iTunes, Pikapi, so just comment there as you see fit. Please rate us or please subscribe and keep listening, because goodness knows we're going to keep going at this as long as people are listening. You can also visit us at the blog, www.pikapipodcast@blogspot.com, and you can comment there. And at either of those locations, you can find more episodes of this podcast, you can comment, you can just basically peruse Pokemon and remember the good old days, and remember why we're looking forward to the good old new days, because Best Wishes is turning out to be one heck of a great season. I am loving it so, so much. So stay with us, and thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Gotta catch them all. Yeah.